three, two, one, and...
Tim Howard. Tim, the Belgium game ended 3 years ago. We need you to save the ball now. Jeff Cameron, clean it up or let's get someone who will. Clint Dempsey, yeah, you're a national team legend. Now we need you to be a national team leader. Michael Bradley, the U.S. does not need you to be Zen. The U.S. needs you to play better. Josie Altidore.
All right, welcome to the Soft Tattooed Millionaires, the podcast that has no Zen. I'm your host, Max, and I'm joined by my brother, Jack. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing really well.
Oh, man, I feel like every time I hear Alexi Lalas speak, my skin, like, I just start cringing. However, every time I listen to Alexi Lalas talking over AC/DC, yelling about the U.S. men's national team, I'm suddenly filled with energy and excitement, strangely.
He really needs a band to just back him wherever he goes. They need an in-studio, where he works at Fox Sports, right? They need like a studio band for Fox Sports to play while Alexi Lalas is ranting.
Absolutely. Like, mediocre white men have been propped up by hard rock and roll for years. So it's a winning formula for Alexi Lalas.
The most mediocre and the whitest of men.
He would sound so much more competent with AC/DC all the time. Definitely. Yes. So, this is our first podcast. And since no one knows who we are, we're both big U.S. soccer fans and soccer fans in general. And we sort of have been texting each other and talking about soccer forever and decided to launch our soccer podcast. Why now, Jack?
I think we're angry. And I think that we reached a critical mass where we wanted to start being part of the conversation. Or I took it upon myself to start my coaching badges because I want to know what it's like from the inside, what coaches in the U.S. do as far as training. So right now I'm just working on my F license, which is actually a course designed also for parents. So it's really not that strenuous. But as I move up the ladder of the coaching badges, I'm assuming it's going to get more and more interesting. I just think we wanted to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, and I am too lazy to do anything like coaching badges, but it's pretty neat. Yeah, like you, just kind of wanted to be a part of the conversation and to be getting angry about it a little bit more, in a little bit more of an organized fashion.
Yeah. Another thing that mediocre white men are great at is just getting angry in public.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Speaking about organizing our disappointment, first thing I want to talk about today was the so-called Tournament of Losers. Mm. And which, you know, for anyone who hasn't heard about it, is the U.S. There's some rumors out there that from some credible journalists who are saying that the U.S. is considering hosting a tournament that's going to feature the teams that did not make it to the World Cup. So people like Italy, Netherlands, Ghana, Chile, Cote d'Ivoire, and us, of course. So let me ask you, what would have to happen for you to actually be interested in watching the Tournament of Losers?
I think the only way that I would be interested in watching said tournament is if FIFA actually called it the Tournament of Losers. That is my condition. And if FIFA acknowledged what a bunch of shit that tournament would be, then yes, then I would watch it. But as of right now, I have no interest.
Yeah, my thought about it is that right now the U.S. is kind of like the way I feel like when I've just effed something up really badly and I try to do something a little bit nice for someone and I'm like, see, I'm not terrible. And I feel like the U.S. did that with the last friendly game that we saw against Portugal, where it was like, oh, U.S. is throwing a bone to a lot of us and showing us kind of a snapshot of what the future might look like with Weston McKennie and all these other young players and saying, like, hey, look, we're progressing. But I feel like if the U.S. keeps trying to sort of like do all these cheeky little nice gestures to fans, it's just going to kind of come off as a little bit patronizing. And this Tournament of Losers definitely, to me, seems like it's going to be tone deaf if we're supposed to watch it and get as excited about it as we might for an actual international competition where something's on the line.
Yeah, I think that the U.S. Soccer Federation has a new level of accountability because of the way soccer has grown in the country. So they are – I don't think they're trying to fool – us per se, but they realize that they have a large public now that whose needs they need to satisfy by showing measurable progress, because that's what the U.S. public is demanding, and I don't think that they can do that, obviously, after having not qualified for the World Cup. So perhaps the Tournament of Losers is just a way to placate the furious masses. I don't know.
Yeah, totally. And or to placate U.S. soccer media, maybe, who's lost out on all sorts of potential TV ratings and that kind of thing, the way Fox Sports did. But I don't know. That, I mean, that's purely speculative on my part. It just seems, though, like probably a bad idea. Unless the only way I could be convinced to watch it is if we felt like, A, potentially we had a coach by then who was exciting. B, a coach who we were interested in seeing, like, hey, this coach is going to try to organize the team this way. We know that we're going to start seeing some new tactics, or we're going to start seeing some sort of like, you know, the first attempt to organize and to make a new system out of the U.S. Men's team. So I could be interested in seeing it that way, especially if we had a sense that, like, oh, this is these young players that we're going to be start playing. But that's really hopeful for for the U.S. Soccer Federation, which generally speaking is not that, I don't know, either transparent or fan savvy.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of teams the other nations would field. I think that it would be a de facto youth tournament, because you can't not qualify for a World Cup and say you're going to stick to the same system and to the same players. So suddenly it would be a sort of another version of like a U23, a U20 tournament, I think, but I'm probably very wrong. But now I have a podcast.
I don't know if Gigi Buffon and Alexis Sanchez are going to be showing up to play, you know, a night game in Columbus or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, speaking of night games in Columbus, another big piece of news this week, or in the last couple of months, really, not just last week, is that Columbus Crew are potentially, if not imminently, relocating to Austin, Texas, where I currently live.
Yeah, and so tell me, I mean, you moved to Austin about 2 months ago. What's your sense been in Austin? Have you connected with kind of like local fans? Do you get the sense that people are actually kind of excited about this?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I am desperate to talk to anybody about soccer. So I teach at Austin Community College, and the first day of class, I always talk about soccer. None of my students care about soccer. I'm also a bartender 4 nights a week down the block from where the American Outlaws have their official bar. It's called the Haymaker. And every time someone comes in with a soccer jersey, the first thing I ask them is, well, are you excited about MLS in Austin? And nobody seems to have a single clue what I'm talking about, which is shocking to me. So I don't know why. It must be that it hasn't reached a point where the general public is aware of it yet, but diehard fans certainly are. Maybe it's just the people who come into my bar don't like soccer. I had Liga MX on at the bar last night. I watched 3 games. No one said anything. So, I mean, they certainly don't hate soccer.
Yeah. So, I know that you wanted to get kind of a little more detail on it. So, we've actually set up an interview with the folks MLS in Austin. Is that the
MLS
name of the organization?
Not to be confused with MLS 2 Austin, which is the...
Yeah, could you explain the difference between those two guys? So who did we interview? MLS in Austin?
So we interviewed MLS in Austin, which is a grassroots supporter group founded in Austin in 2013 by a group of people who just wanted to see professional outdoor soccer in Austin. MLS 2 Austin is a... Well, it's sort of a necessary lobbying done by the pre-court ownership group. So there was a great article about who pays MLS to Austin. It is Anthony Precourt, the current owner of Columbus Crew, who's trying to gain more support in Austin for the potential move. And it's very backhanded. It's very cloak and dagger. It's kind of slimy. But I have not...
So in other words, there is a already existing Austin MLS supporting group. And now Precourt's moving, wants to move to Austin, and he has created another quote-unquote grassroots organization, which is paying for to try to drum up more support, and probably to drum up support in potentially in the ways that are most beneficial to his endeavor to move the team to Austin.
Yes, if anyone is interested in reading about it, you should go on Deadspin. There's a great article called "The Columbus Crew's Austin Relocation Effort Has Its Own Oafish Astroturfing Campaign." It's by Patrick Redford. In it, he details how MLS to Austin didn't even change the location on their tweets from Columbus, Ohio. So that should give you an idea of the level of professionalism, or they're just bad spies. They're yep. not even good double agents. But that being said, when I go onto the Instagram for MLS to Austin, or wait, no, MLS, see, I'm already confusing them. MLS in Austin. It seems like the two groups are beginning to work together. And I really, really liked my conversation with Andrew Urban, is his name, from MLS in Austin. They seem like great guys. They seem very genuine. I loved his attitude. They have all the empathy in the world for fans in Columbus right now. So don't confuse the two. MLS to Austin is owned by the Precourt family, or maybe just Anthony Precourt. And MLS in Austin is an actual grassroots supporter group.
Yeah, and you got to feel kind of bad. I mean, your interview is going to go into all sorts of detail, but we'll get to it in 1 second. But you have to feel a little bit bad for the MLS in Austin group, in the sense that they've been organizing for years, as you said, like 2014, and suddenly they're affiliated with this kind of slimy, you know, what is going to be one of the sort of most, legendarily nefarious moves in MLS. And it seems like there's this actual grassroots organization in Austin, and suddenly they're just being kind of besmirched or kind of guilty by association, in a sense, with Anthony Precourt. And I imagine that part of like the struggle for them is to be like, hey, we're not that guy, but we're also this organization that actually does support soccer and in Austin.
Yeah, MLS in Austin is totally genuine, and no, I can hold nothing against them.
Awesome. Let's take a listen to the interview.
What are you guys gonna do?
All right, I'm here with Andrew Urban, who is a founding member of MLS in Austin. Andrew, thank you so much for coming on the pod today.
Absolutely, thanks for the time. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Yeah, so how about you tell us a little bit about MLS in Austin, when you all got started, who you are, why you're so passionate about having an MLS team in Austin.
The first off is we're a bunch of guys who are guys and women who are just passionate about soccer. And that's first and foremost, number one, is we all love this game and we love seeing it played on every level you can think of, high school to USL to MLS, and the idea of bringing the highest league in the United States to what we believe is one of the best cities in the United States is a dream. We were started in 2013. Josh Babetsky kicked this off, and through multiple iterations while the USL and PDL affiliate was here or not here, he and the small group of us have kind of worked behind the scenes to kind of lay the groundwork for this, all the while seeing a city grow and become more accepting as a place where the business climate could work for it. So I guess that's a long-winded way of saying we've been working on this for 4 years. We thought it was going to be a dream that would take a lot longer. And then a month and a half ago, we see Grant Wall's tweet, and we're all shocked.
Yeah, so, yeah, what was it like in the group when you read that? I mean, what was your reaction?
I was sitting in a hotel room on a business trip, about to go to bed, and I read the tweet, and I just, oh my, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't go to bed for like 2 or 3 more hours.
It must have felt like Christmas.
I will say, you know, once it starts to sink in after a little hour, you're like, this can't be right. And we had theorized, like, Josh Babetsky had written an article, and it's still on MLSinAustin.org, where we sat through 9 months ago, and we're like, What are the situations that would make a team end up in Austin? And there are, in U.S. sports, there are only two ways that happens, and it's expansion or it's relocation. We've obviously been through relocation here with the Orlando team that was the Aztecs, the USL team, mm-hmm. and look where, I mean, they're now a franchise. Mm-hmm. You know, we've MLS franchise. We've lived this, mm-hmm. and we've seen it. We were just over the moon with the USL announcement, thinking, wow, we're going to have professional USL soccer here in 2019. So we were pretty amazed. None of it. We had theorized 8 or 9 months ago in an article, just thinking through these scenarios, that it made sense when you look at business metrics. Out of all the teams, and I know business metrics is a really hot, scary term for a lot of folks in this debate, so I'll be careful with
it. It's okay, yeah.
But if you look through the teams and you go through the stats of where Columbus is with the ticket prices, with the sponsorship levels, and with the attendance, and all of the different things that MLS ticks off, and because it is a jointly owned league as opposed to it's a single entity owned league, other owners are having to participating or not participating in the profits or loss of each team. You start to wonder, are there markets? It's not anything against Columbus. It wasn't anything to say, hey, this is we see a path here. It was literally just going, if there's a team that's going to move, which ones would it be? And Columbus, 9 months ago or 10 months ago, we thought it could be a candidate. We didn't think it was going to be 2019.
Yeah.
We thought 2022, 2024, maybe never. I don't know.
What is the environment like in Austin? I mean, I live in Austin as well. I just moved down here, so I'm not really tapped into the scene that much, but at City Hall, when you go to these meetings, when you have the meetups with MLS2ATX, what kind of response are you getting?
I want to be clear, MLS2ATX and MLS in Austin are not the same.
Yeah, that should be said, because MLS2ATX has been getting a lot of bad press lately. That is not you guys.
It's not. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the lobbying effort that is important for, I guess, if you're part of that, that's trying to lobby for City Hall or what, all those things. Mm-hmm. We are the grassroots supporters group that we're looking for MLS in Austin, regardless of whatever team that might be or however it might get here. So MLS in Austin, again, has been around since 2013, and we are supporter-funded, founder-funded to do the work to try to find a way to bring the beautiful game here.
Mm-hmm. And so what you said about the business metrics fascinates me. I was looking at this study done by Gilt Edge Soccer Marketing, and they ranked the top 30 soccer markets of the United States. And of the top 30, there are 6 in Texas. Austin ranks 6th out of those 6. Why Austin and not San Antonio? Why Austin and not one of these cities on the border that have a large Hispanic community that are already tapped into the sort of soccer universe, if you will? What makes Austin perfect?
There's been a lot tossed around about that, of being a young city, demographics, business community, the size of the city, and then folks trying to compare that to other cities, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. The thing that is different about Austin compared to these other cities is it's potential realized, I think, is a great way to put that. Mm-hmm. Austin is I first moved to Austin in 1984, so I have seen it change dramatically. But what I don't see is that change slowing down. The potential that is Austin is what it is today, and it's amazing of where this city is going in the future. I truly believe Austin is looking to be a future, not just a world-class city with large businesses and a great university, but one of the kind of international destination cities that you see in other parts of the world, a Barcelona, and I know that might sound crazy to rank and say, we're going to be like a Barcelona or a Paris or whatever, but the cultural outlets that you have here between the Austin City Limits Festival, bringing in 150,000 people a year, you have the South by Southwest, which is bringing closer to 1 million. They've just broken ground on a 300,000 square foot building for the conferences. That is music, education, it's the height of technology. It is culture across the board. Then we can go into sports with we're in the 5th year of Formula One, which brings everybody from around North America and Central America to the United States for the premier road racing experience. I could go on about what Austin is as far as a cultural outlet, a creative city. It's part of the DNA that is Austin as I saw it when I was 14, when I first moved here, and at age 47 as I live here and I've raised my children here. So when you think of Austin, its potential realized and it's the future potential of where this city can be in the next 20, 50 years.
I think that is beautifully put. And I don't think it is strange in any way to say that Austin is an international destination. In my day-to-day life, I come into contact with a lot of people in France, and the first thing they ask me, they say, where do you live? I say, Austin, Texas, and they all react like, oh my gosh, that's so exotic. What is it like in Texas? Mm-hmm. I hear so often, it's a dream to come visit Texas. Are you all cowboys? But, you know, well, they might be wrong about that. I just say yes. I nod my head and say yes.
Yes, you're exactly, and I appreciate that. You're, mm-hmm. you're right. There's a difference between telling people that when I travel for work that I'm from Texas or mm-hmm. I'm from Austin.
Yes.
And Austin has a cachet to it. It's as if I'm telling them that I'm from New York, from London.
Yes. Let's change gears just a little bit. Sure. As you sort of see what's going on in Columbus, do you empathize at all with the fans of the Crew? How do you feel about what's going on in Columbus? Are you watching the MLS playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's been one of the hardest parts on this as... Yeah, I'm on Twitter, and I love Austin soccer. I love soccer in general. I'm an MLS fan. I'm a Tottenham Hotspur fan. So as long as you're not Arsenal, we can talk.
I am not at all.
Okay, good. But it's really hard, and that's one of the first emotions I think the hardest part on this is where people think that because I'm pro Austin soccer, mm-hmm. that I'm obviously anti Columbus,
yeah.
or even anti part of the league. And I'm certainly not. I mean, we've been through this here in Austin. It is hard. It's not fun. I have absolute empathy for what the fans are going through. And I can't say that losing the Aztecs is anything like what it is for some of the, what it is like for some of the Crew fans who have put their life into being a fan or making TIFOs or whatever, any of that. And it's, I wish that the soccer environment in the United States was different so that things like this didn't happen. I have to also then realize that it is unfortunately not that. And this is the reality that we have to live in. I think Taylor Twellman said it really well, like a day or two after, where he talked about his head and his heart. His head said, I get and understand why this is good for the league from a business standpoint. His heart said, like mine did, I watched Dos Acero. I mm-hmm. lived watching the Columbus Crew, and I enjoy the game, and this is a disruption to the game and to the league. And so there's something I care about, and I don't want to see that kind of harm happen. Mm-hmm. So it's a tug of war on both sides. Yet we all recognize this is hard. And just because we're excited about MLS in Austin does not mean we don't care about the folks in Columbus.
Now let's move on to some lighter subjects. I'm just sort of to round out the interview. Yeah, no, you've handled yourself very well. But who do you think should be the next U.S. men's national coach?
Why not Caleb Porter?
Yeah.
I know he's been talked about at MLS. I just want somebody who gets American soccer and wants to push it forward. I would love to see Tab Ramos mm-hmm. or somebody with like Caleb with new MLS experience.
Yeah.
Who gets CONCACAF players. And plays against them, has played against them every week for, you know, four or five years.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 5 years.
But yeah, 5 years. So I look at what's being done in Houston with half the team. I'm teasing, mm-hmm. but like three or four of the starters from Honduras are playing for my Houston Dynamo there, mm-hmm. and we need somebody who can really understand the qualifiers, the players. Like what CONCACAF brings to the table, can we do better in going through not just qualifying but coaching? I was trying to think in MLS, the U.S. Open Cup, the Champions League, mm-hmm. so forth. But those are a couple of my favorites. I kind of liken it to thinking about it as to me is kind of like Gareth Southgate as the new England coach. I had no idea who that guy was.
I was just thinking about this morning as I was walking my dog.
the things soccer fans think of while they're walking their dog.
Tattooed millionaires?
So I just read that there are two copyrighted names for the proposed soccer team in Austin.
Good to see that.
Yes. Are you a fan of either Austin Athletic or Austin FC?
If I have to choose, I'm not sure that I'm totally on board with either of them, but if those are my choices, I did a little informal survey. I'm a big fan of Austin FC.
Okay.
And I did some surveys. I went to the North London Derby for the Spurs, Austin Spurs Club at Mr. Tramps yesterday morning. And just that seemed to be what people liked most, Austin FC. And we could see a couple of the guys were talking about, we could really see some really awesome We Are Austin chants coming out of that.
Absolutely. Well, with as much empathy as I can give to the fans in Columbus, if Austin FC is realized, I hope to see you at the first game.
Yes, I will be my wife and I have already had the discussion on how many season tickets we need.
That's excellent. I'll look for you. I'll look for the guy openly weeping in the crowd. But there'll probably be so many of them, I won't be able to pick
there'll
you
be
out.
A few.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say, Andrew Urban, thank you so much for...
One last plug that we're trying to do.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
over the holidays, we are going to be putting together a fundraiser. It's going to start next week. And it's going to benefit Soccer Assist Austin, which is a charity foundation that raises money to help underserved, underprivileged youth ages 7 to 11 to afford true soccer, well-organized soccer league programs. And the challenge is going to be for people around Austin to essentially do a soccer nutmeg on a friend or be creative, you know, nutmeg a building or however you want to try to be creative. Create a video and then of yourself, challenge a friend, and then donate to Soccer Assist Austin. We're hoping to raise a little bit of money to support local youth here in Austin for their soccer dreams.
It's relevant as we talk about pay for play, and I will be nutmegging any and all of my three friends.
There will be information up on MLS Austin, MLSinAustin.org. You can also on Facebook, MLS in Austin, and you'll also be able to find information at SoccerHub.Austin.org, and all that will be up here before Thanksgiving with information of how to get involved.
Great. All right, Andrew, thank you so much again for joining us. I feel bad saying I hope to see you at the games because I do want to be sensitive to Columbus. But if it comes to pass, I'll buy you a beer.
There you go. Right. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Cheers. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
That was a great interview. Definitely stuff there that I did not expect. What surprised you about talking to MLS in Austin?
Maybe surprises is not the right word, but Andrew Urban is an incredibly eloquent and well-spoken individual. I can think of no better representative for Austin in MLS than him.
Cool. And so just so everyone knows, we've also scheduled an interview with the Save the Crew group, and we'll be telling their side of this issue in the next episode as well. Great. So that brings us to a close for this week's episode of Soft Tattooed Millionaires. You can reach out to us on Twitter at SoftTattooFC or send us an email. Please, if you got questions or interested in interviews or anything like that, hit us up. It's SoftTattooedMillionaires@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me this week, Jack.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right. Stay zen. or no, not. No, definitely no, not no. zen.